Amen. Heavenly Father, unto us in our pain, unto us in our joy, unto us in our sufferings and trials, unto us you have come among us, Lord Jesus. So we celebrate today, Heavenly Father. Thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ unto us. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that he brings to all of us who will believe. Lord, how we pray for those who are here with us today who do not know Jesus, and at this time of the year, may you draw them by your Holy Spirit, and that they might see their need for Jesus more than anything else. And oh Lord, we thank you for being among us. We thank you for being one of us. Unto us you've been born. So today we celebrate, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Wasn't that a blessing to hear the choir? Amen. Wasn't that good? If you missed Sunday night, you need to go to Facebook on the church page and look at that tremendous experience of worship that we had with him. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mike, and we're glad you're here. If you're a guest, God bless you. Merry Christmas. Turn to your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. We're practicing. How's that? During these days, as we think about Christmas time, I've taking the opportunity in these few weeks before, I want to talk to you about the supernatural light that Jesus has brought into the world. Last week we looked in Luke chapter 1. I want you to find your place in Luke chapter 2. Last week we looked in Luke chapter 1 and we saw the words of John the Baptist's father, who said in chapter 1, because of the tender mercy, chapter 1, verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. So when Jesus came at this time of the year, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, a sunrise took place in the world. The light came. Supernatural light of God has come to our world. And so we celebrate at Christmas. We light these candles to remind us of the light. So today I want you to find your place in Luke chapter 2. For today we read the words of a man who met Jesus in the temple when he was just a baby. And he saw something in Jesus beyond just another Jewish child being dedicated in the temple there in Jerusalem. And I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's Word. And we'll read together, take your copy of God's Word and find Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 25. Luke 2, 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him, that is, Simeon took Jesus into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. Heavenly Father, now, in these next few moments, give us the absence of distraction. Help us to pay attention to what you want to say to us by the Holy Spirit. And help us to honor Jesus in our lives. We stand before you today asking, Lord, what do you want us to do? How we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes, that you might, by the Holy Spirit, reveal truth to us from your word today. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want you to observe some things before I make three observations about these words that have to do with Jesus being the light of the Gentiles. First of all, there's a difference between information and revelation. Everyone needs to hear me now. Don't drift away. This is important. Oh, we spend a lot of time, and we should. We spend a lot of time at First Baptist Church, and I'm proud of this part of what we do, along with a lot of other things we do. And I'm proud that we're a church where if you bring your boys and girls here, we're going to teach you the Bible. You teach your boys and girls the Bible. We're going to teach them how to memorize God's Word and how to think about God's Word and how to study God's Word. Students and children and preschoolers, we start young and all the way through adults. Great Bible teachers in our church who teach the Word of God. Information's important, but information only gives you a knowledge, a general idea of what the Bible has to say and what God has to say to us from His Word. But revelation is an idea of insight. The word revelation, we read it here in these words of Simeon in verse 32, a light of revelation. Jesus is a light of revelation. The word revelation means to be revealed, to unveil. It's as if you see it, but then you see it in a whole different way. You see, there is seeing things, and then there is a seeing that's revealing. And it's different. I talk to many people who have information about Jesus, information about the Bible, information about what the Bible says about this, that, and the other, but they don't really see Jesus. They have not experienced what the Bible calls revelation. This is very important. This is a life and death issue I'm talking about today. I'm not trying to waste your time, I promise you. So when we have these words of this man filled with the Spirit, make some observations here before we get into this. So revelation, how do I experience the revelation of God? I'm glad you asked. Notice Simeon. He was a righteous and devout Jew, verse 25. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which means he was waiting for the Messiah, the promised one of the prophets. But then we read these words, and oh, Luke is so good in his gospel to remind us of the importance of the Holy Spirit's work in all of our lives. He says in verse 25, he was, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. This was before the coming of the Holy Spirit, after Jesus' death and resurrection. But the Holy Spirit came upon people. In the Old Testament, in these days before Jesus was glorified in the coming of the Holy Spirit permanently inside of us, but the Holy Spirit was on him. And in verse 26, the Holy Spirit, please notice the word is there, it had been revealed to him. This is the difference between coming here and gaining information and something being revealed to you supernaturally. That still happens today. In every person who's born again, you experience revelation about who Jesus is. So it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the revealer, the one who points to Jesus, the revelation of all things about God. He revealed to him that he wasn't going to die till he saw the Messiah. And then we read that in verse 27, he came in the Spirit to the temple. He's in the Spirit. The Spirit is upon him, and all of a sudden, he's been there time after time. He's watched baby after baby come in for their ceremonial cleansing under the law. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, are you listening? He sees something he's never seen in any other baby. It's revealed to him. Says he's in the Spirit, in the temple, and the parents bring in the child Jesus. He takes him in his arms, and then look at these words in verse 30. My eyes have seen your salvation. There's a difference between information and revelation. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one who opens your eyes to see what you cannot see with just your human eyes and information in your head. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. It's Jesus, he's a baby, not yet taught one word, not yet done one miracle, not yet died on the cross. My eyes have seen your salvation. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, the salvation that has come to the world in Jesus. Unto us, as the choir sang, is born the Savior. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. And then he says, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. I'll not speak about the last part of verse 32. I want to spend my time speaking to you today about a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Why would he use this strange phrase? Well, because Simeon is describing one aspect of Jesus being the light of the world. He is a light to the Gentiles. He is a light of revelation. So here's the point. You cannot understand or know anything about the invisible God you cannot see without Jesus revealing him to you. The only way you can know God, the unseen God, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But Jesus came. He came to this world, and he came to this world as a light of revelation to the Gentiles. There's a lot to be said here, and I'm going to do my best in the next few minutes to take you through this. I want to say to you again, I cannot emphasize to you the importance of understanding the difference between having information about God and Jesus and having the revelation of Jesus made known to your heart and mind so that you want to be saved, so that you want to worship him, so that you want to glorify him, so that you want to live for him. There's a difference. Information is good. Revelation is essential. And every one of us who know Jesus Christ today, at some point in your life, you experienced God-sent, empowered, supernatural revelation. It's not because you're smart. It's because it's been revealed to you. So the many, many people in our world, they go about Christmas as a secular holiday. The lines are long, are they not? The madness is crazy. My wife and I were coming back, Pat and I were coming back from Portland, Tennessee through Hendersonville yesterday, seeing our kids, and I guess I'm living a sheltered world, but there they were, trying to get to that mall up there. One exit, and the traffic was backed up clear onto I-65. What in the world? To get a pair of underwear for somebody? Some socks? I think about we should go stand as Christians on top of the tables and chairs in the cafe in the mall and say, Jesus is the reason for the season. This is what we're here to do. But you know what I mean. I'm not disparaging the sadness of this time of year. You see, information isn't revelation. Seeing because you've been told something or you have information is one thing. Seeing Jesus because he's been revealed to you is a whole different thing. And until he's revealed to you, you will not be saved. This is so urgent. This is a matter of heaven or hell. So what do we learn about Jesus being a light of revelation to the Gentiles? Well, number one, Jesus reveals God's word to us. Reveal, revelation. What does the Greek, the word in the New Testament that's used here, that's translated in our English Bibles, reveal or revelation, it means to unveil. It means to reveal, to disclose it, to make you see something you didn't see before. It's revelation. Revelation is very familiar to all of you who know Jesus, and next week I'll talk some more about this, about the supernatural ability that we have to understand, and it's revealed to us what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. It's a glorious thing. Hebrews chapter 1, you have it here on the screen. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. He has spoken to us in his Son. This English Bible, which is a miracle in itself that you hold in your hands. A miracle. This English Bible that we now have the privilege of turning to in all the Gospels and finding, as I've called them for many years to you, red letter words. I do it on purpose to remind you. Some of the publishers have chosen to put these words in red that are the words of Jesus. Why? Because they are the words that reveal to us who God is. If you want to know the unseen God, pay attention to the red letter words of Jesus. In John, I'm going to give these quickly, but I want you to have these references. I don't have them on the screen for you, and I'm sorry. But in John chapter 1, verse 18, John reminds us of something about Jesus that we sometimes forget. John chapter 1, 18 says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father." What's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the only begotten one. He's the only one who's come from God. He's come to this world, Christmas time. We celebrate him coming in flesh. Notice, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he says, he has explained him. Jesus explains the unseen God. The word here is the word to exegete. It's a fancy word. It's what preachers do and teachers do when you hear them teach the Bible and preach. They exegete. They take you through. They explain the words. They explain the meanings, how they go together. They exegete. They want to make the meaning clear, so they exegete it. Jesus is the one who explains to us who God really is. Jesus said in his prayer to God the Father before the cross, John 17, 8. You got to be listening now. John 17, 8, "The words which you gave me." Every word Jesus spoke was given by God the Father, the unseen living God. "The words which you gave me, I have given to them." John 6:68, when a bunch of disciples decided to quit following Jesus, his popularity really dropped. Because he had some strong things to say, not everybody wanted to follow Jesus after they heard the whole message. He says to his disciples, "Are you going to go away too?" And Peter says in this particular place, John 6:68, "To whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life." These words make you alive, dear people. The words of Jesus bring you to life. The words of Jesus turn on the lights. The words of Jesus reveal things about the unseen God you'll never know any other way. John 12:48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings," that's most of the world. They're not interested in hearing about Jesus. What Jesus has to say about business, what Jesus has to say about family, what Jesus has to say about relationships, they're not interested in that. Jesus said, John 12:48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word," you must hear me now, "the word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." Oh, the words of Jesus will judge those who reject his words. So Jesus reveals God's word to us. If you want to know about God, you listen to Jesus. He reveals who God, the unseen God, is. Secondly, this is very important now. Jesus reveals God's way of salvation to us. A light, look at it again in your Bible, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. This word Gentile is a word it's actually, he's quoting from Isaiah 42, where in Isaiah 42, this is a psalm, this is a prophecy pointing to the Messiah who would come. We know as Jesus. It was a promise Isaiah made that God was speaking about Jesus. Isaiah 42, he says that I will appoint you as a light to the nations. Let's think about the nations for a moment. You may be here and you have a Jewish background. Oh, to the Jewish people, half your Bible. Half your Bible. What a contribution. God had chosen the nation of Israel to be the priestly nation, to speak of the glory of God to the rest of the nations. What kind of shape are the nations in when it comes to God? Let me talk to you about just where Luke was. Luke writes these words during the time of Roman domination in the world. Let's go on a little history lesson for a moment. For 1,200 years, the Romans ruled the world. That's pretty impressive. They did it with brutality. They did it with cruelty and total control. The peace of Rome. You did it Rome's way or you die. But in the family life, and we learn this from archaeology, in the family life of the common Roman, they would carve these little figures, just little figures. They've been dug up all over the Roman world. And these little figures were all figures of their ancestors. And in the common Roman home, the family would gather generally once or twice a day to worship their ancestors. Darkness. Hoping that somehow as they speak to their dead ancestors, that they would have some hope of life. The Roman world filled with this. In fact, it was so powerful that most of the Roman soldiers would carry in their tunic when they go to battle their ancestors. Superstition and fables. The fables from Greece came to Rome. Why, they make movies out of them now, Zeus and Apollos and all of these man-made ideas about God, because the nations are in darkness. They have no idea. Worshiping ancestors, passing along fables about made-up gods, and worshiping creation. This is the condition of the Gentiles, the nations, darkness, without any hope or understanding of God's word. They did not have what Israel had. They did not have all of the prophets. They did not know these things. Jesus, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. You say, boy, Pastor Mike, that must have been a really hard time. But superstition goes on to this day. You must have revelation in 18. Just like they had to have it in that day. Several years ago, spoke with a young man. His wife tragically died. He was not a Christian. I was talking to him about the importance of coming to know Jesus, and he was very polite, but he wasn't interested. He was just broken and so sad, rightly so, because of the loss of his wife. Well, I wanted to keep in touch with him and tried to visit with him, and so we did, and one day I got a text from him not long after, and it was a picture of clouds. And he wrote on the text, "Do you see it here, Pastor Mike? My dear wife," called her name, "there she is, looking down on me. She's going to help me and protect me." I'm talking about in the zip code of 37055 in 2016. Superstition is real. Fables and the sadness of a dark world who have no idea of how to find God. This is the condition of our world. Jesus, a light of revelation. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. John 3:36. He who does not obey the Son, that means you must hear His words, will not see life, but the wrath of God revealed. It will fall upon him. I want you to see this while we have a few minutes, because it's so important for you to see this, how the light of revelation of Jesus was at work in the nations, even in His birth. If you have your Bibles open, just flip back to Matthew for just a moment. Be patient with me, but look at this. This is very important as we look at this principle of Jesus reveals God's way of salvation. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. You read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east, from the nations, these strange magi, these wise men who themselves were bound up in all kinds of false religion and idolatry, who were bound up in their own wisdom of their own ages and their ancestors, these magi from the east of Jerusalem. These magi arrive in Jerusalem in verse 2. They come to Herod the king. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star. No Bible. No preachers. The Lord Jesus' ministry has not yet started. He's been born and a star in the darkness of the world. What a picture it is. What a picture it is of how people come to know Jesus even to this day. A star. His star. We saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him. It continues in verse 9. After hearing the king Herod, what he wanted him to do, find Jesus, they went their way, and please notice, the star which they had seen, the star. You can't see stars for the most part in the daytime. You can only see them at night. In the darkness of the night, these wise magi, all caught up in their false religion, bound up as a picture of the nations of the world, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where Christ was. A light of revelation to the Gentiles who to this day, all around the world, including Dixon, Tennessee, the United States of America, people sit in the darkness, in the shadow of death, as we saw last week, in terror and fear because they don't know what's going to happen in their life, and they're trapped by superstition and fables. And when you say the name of Jesus, some experience revelation. They hear the words of Jesus and they see something that others don't see. Why? It happens in a family. Some believe in Jesus. They see. It's like they wake up from the dead and they're drawn to Jesus. Why, folks, we've never seen Jesus with our eyes. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a supernatural experience that the Holy Spirit of God gives when the name of Jesus is given. And that's why we go tell people about Jesus. We go take the light. We shine the light in the darkness of superstition and worship of creature and creation. Which leads me to the last thing I want you to see. Not only does Jesus reveal God's word to us and reveal God's way of salvation to us, Jesus reveals God's will for life. He says to us in John 6:40, these are the words of Jesus, "For this is the will of my Father." You want to know the will of God? "This is the will of my Father, that everyone..." Now look at this statement. This is very important as we think about revelation. "That everyone who beholds the Son..." We can't see Jesus. He's not here physically, like you're looking at me. "Everyone who beholds the Son..." But you see, though Jesus is not here, you can see him with revelation. Everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. I wonder tonight, today, if you have experienced the supernatural revelation of God so that you see Jesus as more than just a historic figure. You have seen Him and you have bowed to Him and you have confessed Him as eternal Lord and Savior of your life. And now you have surrendered the remainder of your life because of revelation. Because you've seen Jesus for who He really is, you now say, I will go anywhere you want me to go. I will do anything you want me to do, and I will say anything you want me to say. You are Lord and Master, Lord Jesus. You only do it by revelation. You don't do it by information. There is a seeing that is a seeing God by faith, and it is real. And it's where the Christian life starts. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24, if anyone wishes to come after me, you have to deny yourself. You got to say no to yourself. You have to take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said in another place, when you believe in me, my Father and I will come to you. Listen. And we will disclose ourselves to you. Revelation. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. It's an old song I sung all my life growing up, many of you. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. You see, when you know Jesus, He reveals things to you. When you know Jesus, He lets you know what other people don't know. When you know Jesus, you have experienced the fulfillment of Simeon's words, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. So let me apply this as we finish. I know some of you will roll your eyes. I say it all the time. I've said it for years. I'll continue to say it. Read your Bible. Get up in the morning and read your Bible. Go to bed reading your Bible. We have here in this church, if you don't have your own way of reading it, we have a Bible reading plan. We'll be starting the new year. You can get right back on the wagon and read. Read the Bible, one chapter a day. Read it. If you can't read it, turn it on with all of your fancy devices and play it in your car or wherever you've got. Hear it. Read it. Hear the Word of God. Surround yourself with God's Word. God will reveal Himself to you. Look, it's in these pages. These amazing, eternal words. I don't know how to explain it, but I'm going to tell you this. If you read this book, and you're born again and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you from this book, you'll get stronger every day, not weaker. But you got to read it. I can't read it for you. Your mama can't read it for you. She might do everything else for you. But your mama can't read for you the Word of God. You have to do it. Pray and ask God to open your eyes to why He's letting you go through what you're going through. You know there's a reason. There's not an accidental thing going on in anybody's life in this room today. Not an accident. There's no such thing. Give thanks for everything, for this is the will of God for you in Christ. Lord, why? Why? Show me. Reveal it to me so I understand. Not even change it, just show me and help me understand. Revelation. And then living by God's revealed word. Once He's shown you what to do, remember, we have to obey. We have to obey. And for some of you here today, I wonder, have you heard God say something to you in your past days He revealed something to you, but you have been disobedient. You need to talk to the Lord about disobedience to revelation. It could be one of the causes of why you're so miserable and nobody in the family wants to eat dinner with you at Christmas time. Just want to see if you were listening. So we come to Advent to celebrate. There's a great line of division that stands out when it comes to knowing about Jesus and truly knowing Jesus. And it's all about revelation. Nobody here can give you something to take or fix you in such a way that Jesus will be revealed to you. You must experience what Simeon experienced as the Holy Spirit came upon him and he said, "My eyes have seen." Not a baby, it doesn't say that. My eyes have seen a baby. No, my eyes have seen your salvation. And his name is Jesus. Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Messiah, Son of God, High Priest, who comes again. My prayer for all of you is that you will experience the supernatural revelation of God so that you might truly see Jesus and live in the joy and power and abundance that revelation brings. May the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for Simeon's words long, long ago, thousands of years ago, as he declared that, Lord Jesus, you are a light of revelation. Lord, without you, we'd still be in our superstition. Without you, we'd still be in our darkness. Without you, we'd still have no hope and be without God in this world. Oh, how it should burden us, those who live all around us, those in our family, those our neighbors, those our friends, who still live in superstition and in darkness, in the shadow of death and fear. May we tell them about Jesus so that they might see salvation. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need to be saved. Something draws you today. Something draws you. It's not in the words spoken. So when we talk about Jesus, there's something glorious about this one, the Lord Jesus. So you may be here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Here's what we do. We stand, we sing, we invite people to step forward and say, "I'm ready to follow Jesus, but I don't know what to do." We'll help you. The pastors and I will help you know what to do. Next. Some of you need to join this church. You've told me, you've told others of us, it's time for me to come here. This is the place God wants me. All right, if it's time, then when we sing, you step forward and you come down and you say to the church, "I'm ready to unite myself here with the rest of these people." For the rest of us who are family in this church, you should thank God today that you've experienced revelation in knowing Jesus, not information. So Heavenly Father, bless this invitation time to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together. Jesus is the answer. It's a great old song. You know it. If you need to come, you come on. The pastors are here. We wait for you.
Jesus is
from the balcony or below. Some of you need to come. Come on. It's time to come.
Today, above him there's no other.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Come on, my friend. If you
Jesus
need to come, don't be afraid.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Him, there's no other.
Sing it again. Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Of him, there's no other.
I want to join.
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today.
You need to come this morning. Come on.
Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Let's be seated with our heads bowed. Lori's going to continue to play. Just be seated for a moment in the quiet of this moment. Friend, do you see what you don't see? Do you see him? Or the Bible says, we see him made for a little while lower than the angels, crowned with glory, who tasted death for every man. His name is Jesus. Hebrews tells us that we're to endure looking to Jesus. Do you see what you don't see? It's revelation. It comes only by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us have grieved the Holy Spirit. That's why you don't see, you don't hear. Well, now it's time for us to say, Lord, I need to start again. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me. Fill me. Save me. Change me. Steve's going to sing while we have our heads bowed. We're going to wait. If you need to come, you come.